As you heard a few moments ago, Liberal MP Gladys Liu has failed to dispel suspected China links during a very difficult interview about her association with propaganda groups linked to the Communist Party.
I can tell you that I cannot recall if, as is reported, that from 2003 to 2015, 12 years long, that if I can't recall, I can't be an active member of that council, can I?
That's Liberal backbencher Gladys Liu on Sky News last night. Peter Van Onselen is the political editor with the Ten Network and a contributing editor with the Australian newspaper. Good morning to you, Peter.
Good morning, Hamish.
Gladys Liu says she can't recall if she was a member of such groups. They include China Overseas Exchange Association, which is linked to Chinese government propaganda. She also repeatedly refused to condemn Chinese activity in the South China Seas. So is this going to raise a lot more alarm bells?
Look, I suspect it will. It's an interesting one. I have some sympathy for her not wanting to condemn operations in the South China Sea, not because I agree with that, but because I suspect what was driving her unwillingness to do so was that she was actually on the fly wondering what she should do in relation to delving into foreign policy. What was the Australian government's position? Would it be wrong for her as a backbencher, the first of Chinese descent, as a woman in the lower house, to weigh in on that? So I don't think that she was trying to defend China. I just think that she was worried that she would cause a problem. And by worrying that she would cause a problem, she did cause a problem because she didn't answer the question. On the other one, though, that's where I'm a bit more cynical. This idea that she can't recall her involvement or otherwise in an association, that sounds a little bit ridiculous to me, unless it was such a casual association. That's not the kind of thing that you forget, particularly given the centrality of it and the importance of it in her backstory.
Centre Alliance is claiming this to be a very significant failure when it comes to China's foreign political influence here. Parliament's Joint Committee of Intelligence and Security recommended more than a year ago a foreign influence transparency scheme to look at the conduct of MPs and senators. Would something like that deal with these sorts of questions?
Oh, it absolutely would, as would a federal version of an ICAC, for example, that could also have a delving into impact on an area like this. But the idea that that Joint Committee on Security Matters has made this recommendation, it's done so, as you say, over a year ago, but there's been no action to follow, that would be profoundly disappointing for a lot of people observing this and just wanting to ensure that everything is nice and clean and nice and transparent, because that Joint Committee is quite literally one that over the years, a little bit less so in recent months, but over the years has always had a really bipartisan flavour to its recommendations. It has personnel on it that have a strong interest in national security. Often they have a good background in it too, both in their parliamentary dealings and in their pre-parliamentary experience. So the idea that it would make a pretty strong recommendation, as I recall it, over 12 months ago, and not have any action to follow that up. And then, of course, we see this lineup, this litany of, you know, sort of potential conflicts that appear to be there in relation to foreign influence over recent years, and including recent months, and not just at the federal level. It just makes it a frustrating thing, I think, for a lot of observers.
Peter, the bushfires are still blazing. The Natural Disaster Minister, David Littleproud, made some comments on this program at the start of this week, which seems to have set off a chain of events. He's now doubled down on his position when it comes to the role of climate change and in bushfires. He's saying that he's not sure if climate change is man-made. You just heard Joel Fitzgibbon calling him a climate change denier. Are you surprised that we're still seeing this sort of language around climate change and scepticism within the highest echelons of government?
Look, I'm not surprised, but that's a sad thing rather than a good thing. I'm not surprised because there is a lot of scepticism in commentary ranks as well, in some sections of the commentariat, not just amongst the parliamentarians, and one seems to follow the other with the tail wagging the dog in some respects. I've got no issue with an interesting debate about how to deal with climate change, whether it's about adapting rather than about trying to mitigate and avoid it continuing to change, because that can be a debate about process. But when you're denying the science, and you're denying the evidence, which is so overwhelming from so many quarters, that's when it becomes a little bit silly, and I guess sillier still, Hamish, which is sort of the point here, when it's amongst senior decision makers in government.
Peter Van Onselen, thank you.
Good to chat.
Peter Van Onselen is Professor of Politics at Griffith University and the University of WA.